A musical maverick was born 250 years ago. Ludwig van Beethoven charted a powerful new course in music. His ideas may have been rooted in the work of his predecessors, but as NPR's Tom Heisinger reports, the German composer became who he was with the help of American values, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
As it turns out, that phrase, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, from the Declaration of Independence, is right out of the playbook of the Enlightenment, a movement that shook Europe in the 18th century.
One way to look at it is what happened after Newton created the scientific revolution. Basically, people, for the first time, developed the idea that through reason and science, we can understand the universe and understand ourselves.
Composer and author Jan Swofford wrote a 1,000-page biography of Beethoven. He says key components of the Enlightenment, including a cult of personal freedom and the importance of heroes, were vibrating in the air in Beethoven's hometown of Bonn when he was an impressionable teenager.
There was discussion of all these ideas in coffee houses and everywhere, and he just was sort of absorbed into all that, and he soaked it up like a sponge.
And you can hear ideas from the Enlightenment in Beethoven's Third Symphony, nicknamed the Heroic.
The theme, which I think represents the hero, da-dee-da-da-da-da-da-dum, it starts playing in a horn, and then it's as if it leads the whole orchestra into a gigantic proclamation of that theme. It's as if that is the hero leading an army into the future.
The hero of the Third Symphony was Napoleon, until Beethoven found out he was just another brutal dictator. Then he tore up the dedication page of the score. Actually, the hero of much of Beethoven's music is humanity itself.
He was a humanist, above all.
Conductor Marin Alsop, who planned to mount Beethoven's Ninth Symphony on 6 continents this year before the pandemic hit, says Beethoven believed that each of us can surmount any obstacle.
You can hear his perspective on this new philosophy of the Enlightenment because it's very personal to Beethoven. Throughout all of his works, you have this sense of overcoming.
Of going from darkness to light in pieces like the Third Symphony, the famous Fifth Symphony, and it shows up, Alsop says, at the very beginning of the groundbreaking Ninth.
It opens in the most unexpected way for a piece that's about to make a huge statement. You can't even tell if it's a major key or a minor key. It's kind of fluttering in the strings. And it's this idea of possibility, an empty slate. And from there, he builds this whole journey of empowerment, of unity. There's a lot of unison where the orchestra shouts out as one, ba-ba, 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 beat it all.
Those unisons, Alsop says, are the way Beethoven depicts the connections between people. Pretty important for a man who began to go deaf before he was 30.
Beethoven is really the perfect symbol for this era of COVID because of his severe isolation.
And that solitude sent the composer out for long walks in the woods outside Vienna.
Beethoven absolutely loved and cherished nature and thought of nature as a holy thing.
Another Enlightenment idea, says conductor Roderick Cox, who's a fan of Beethoven's Sixth Symphony, the Pastoral, which he conducted this fall. It's a symphonic portrait of a day in the countryside.
Those are some of the principles of Enlightenment, of this music, this liberation of the human mind.
Cox also points to another Beethoven obsession, freedom, which is captured on stage, he says, in the composer's politically fueled opera, Fidelio.
It really is the epitome of this Enlightenment spirit, of this governmental prisoner, but speaking out against the government for individual rights and liberty and has been jailed.
When the prisoners leave their dungeon cells for a momentary breath of fresh air, they sing the word freedom, Freiheit. Two and a half centuries after his birth, Beethoven continues to loom large over today's composers, literally.
I have a picture of him up here. I'll show it to you. It's right above my composing desk.
Composer Joan Tower tilts her iPad camera to show me Beethoven on her wall. She even says he paid her a ghostly visit once while she was trying to write music.
He walked into the room, and I said, listen, could you leave? I'm busy here. And he would not leave. So I said, okay, if you're going to stay, then I'm going to use your music.
She did, in her piano concerto, dedicated to Beethoven, which borrows fragments from three of his piano sonatas, including his final sonata, which Tower demonstrates in her studio.
This is just beautiful. So that came out in the concerto, but it came out only melodically the same, very high.
Joan Tower's music is tied to Beethoven and a few of her personality traits.
The thing I relate to is the struggle, because I struggle the way he does. And he was slow, and I'm slow. So there's certain connections that I'm so happy to have with him.
Everyone can connect to Beethoven, says Maren Alsop.
This is art that defies time, culture, partisanship, that unifies.
It's music that speaks to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, things we are all yearning for right now. Tom Huizinga, NPR News.